Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Oh my God. There's only happy reasons to drink this week, right?
I mean,
this was the week of drive-by fruitings.
Yes.
This was the attack of the killer tomatoes. Our ex-president that is giant pussy afraid of fruit.
And we can celebrate love.
Right. Yes. Madison Cawthorn. Wow. Just the implosion. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert fighting. It's been a fantastic gift of... just a week of comedy gifts. And Allison Gill, Mueller, she wrote, was in studio with us.
Uh-huh.
And she is hilarious. And man, I'm telling you, on every single thing.
That's right.
Developing a legal story. And to top it off, Jill Weinbanks. Because lordy, there were tapes.
Yes.
We were saying to her, it's like there's a Watergate every 2 a day, right? We were just talking about the difference between the Goldwater era when he went to tell Nixon to resign. And he did.
Yeah.
And the cowardice of pussitude is the through line of this happy hour. The pussitude of Kevin McCarthy.
It's fair.
Nonetheless, we have two awesome chicks for happy hour
today.
We
do. Yes.
And we also got Rachel Maddow in trouble when we played WTF Donnie with AG on Monday.
Oh, yes. We think, yes, that's, well, because of Troth or whatever Donald Trump calls his social media thing that's a big, giant failure, like him.
Troth Central.
That's what I said. Isn't that what I said? That's what he said.
What was that?
That's what he called it. Okay. Anyway, it is a fantastic twofer. As you said, two awesome chicks.
Yeah.
Allison Gill from Mueller.
Truth Central.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
I found it.
And Jill Weinbanks. Enjoy.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hi, Allison Gill's here. Did you, you're like family.
Hello.
Hi. that he said he was placating Liz and paying her lip service. Oh my God, he's such a giant liar. Mm-hmm. Like, we heard the conversation.
Yeah.
All she said was, she didn't suggest anything.
No.
Or ask for it. She just said, hey, Kevin, yeah, I'm here. And, you know, do you want to clarify? But 25th Amendment, right? That's all she said, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, he's going to be like, well, there was a whole conversation before that happened. No, there wasn't.
You literally hear Liz saying, are you on the line?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Just got there.
Right. I love this. Trump isn't really mad, said one source. He's got other things on his mind, like going to prison.
Maybe. Yeah.
He accepts Kevin for who he is. It's not like he really trusts him. Oh, so even Trump, the biggest liar in the world, thinks Kevin McCarthy's a big untrustworthy liar as well. I love this. A person close to Trump said he isn't upset about McCarthy's remarks unless something else drops. Oh, Lordy, I think there's more tapes. Yep. I think
there's always going to be more tapes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always worried about other things dropping that don't exist.
Right. Right. I love, yeah, you said that. You tweeted that. You said, I'm gonna sleep better tonight than every Republican wondering which of their conversations have been recorded and when they're going to come out.
Hmm.
That's kind of delicious.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
That's really the best part. Because, it's a one-party state in D.C.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts anybody.
Right.
They've all recorded each other's calls.
Don't you wish we were there? We could just give them overstartle response. Oh, is that your alert on your phone? Oh.
If I was a Republican on Friday that had any skeletons in my closet between Marjorie Taylor Greene's testimony, Kevin McCarthy, and then Mastin Cawthorn's lingerie pics,
right.
I would be, Lindsey Graham was probably scared about what was going to come out of the closet that night.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay.
Outside of Lindsey himself?
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, Allison. Wait, where were we? What were we playing? Oh, yes,
we
one
played
more.
13.
Yes, okay. Give me another one.
I have never asked the president to resign. Uh-huh. So what the book said was not true. I never asked the president to resign. We talked about the ability to win the majority back in Congress.
Did you?
We're looking at inflation we haven't seen since the 70s. Gas prices higher than we've ever imagined.
Yeah,
crime in our streets and our cities. Mm-hmm. A border that's not secure. I'll be going down to the border on Monday.
A stunt?
Really?
Distraction.
stunt much?
Is he going to suggest the 25th Amendment for the border?
Right?
That's funny. See, that's why she's Allison Gill and you're not.
Yes.
You tweeted, you retweeted Ali Velshi. You pointed to his and Hugo Lowell's reporting. But Ali said what January 6th members are interested in hearing from McCarthy, reports Hugo Lowell, is why he thought the former president bore responsibility or why he said he admits he has some responsibility, because it shows a guilty mind, which are shared. I don't know if he's my husband or your man, but Glenn Kirshner on Friday. Our shared superhero.
Glenn.
Hugo said January 6th got testimony that Trump Chief of Staff Marv Meadows was told by White House counsel the scheme to have alternate Trump slates of electors in states that he lost would be unlawful, but the White House went ahead anyway, per new court filing. I mean, this new court filing is just, like we were saying, consciousness of guilt is the one thing that, Glenn was talking about with McCarthy. But mm-hmm.
And that's huge, because that implicates Mark Meadows.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As knowing and having corrupt intent and going forward anyway. It doesn't necessarily implicate Trump. We can assume Meadows told Trump, but only Meadows knows if Meadows told Trump. And so now Meadows is in the precarious position of, do I come forward and cooperate and tell the committee or tell the Department of Justice that I told Trump that so that he takes some of the responsibility and maybe I get a lighter sentence?
Yeah.
Or do I take the fall for all this?
Yeah.
That statement right there implicates him.
Yeah, McCarthy. Right, McCarthy. Yeah, you had a lot of interesting stuff on Twitter. You said, people say of the McCarthy tapes, nothing will happen. They don't realize it has happened. The truth came out and that is something. Who convinced everyone that nothing is ever good enough?
Yeah.
I know you're talking to me, but that's okay.
Who convinced you, Stephanie?
Veruca Salts.
No, I understand there's a big difference between seeing arrests and accountability as far as arrests and indictments go and just having the truth. And that's the difference between the Department of Justice and the January 6th committee. Is the January 6th committee is there to give us the truth. The Justice Department is there to give us accountability. But the truth is accountability. And I think before we go into this and before we get too deep into it, we have to decide what our idea of justice is. Because otherwise we'll keep moving the goalposts. So is it, for me, it was that there would be an investigation. And I got that. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. But then people are like, not good enough, I want indictments. And then after the indictments, they'll say, not good enough, I want a conviction. And then after the conviction, they'll say, not good enough, I want a sentence. And then when the sentence comes, that's not a long enough sentence. So you have to decide where justice is for you.
I do get, a lot of our legal lads and ladies, friends of ours, saying, the old, like, you don't want to aim at the king and miss, you know, like that you, the I'm worst like, thing would be to not be ready. And,
I don't know.
And,
I'm like, aim at the king.
The
worst, said, I think, would be to not aim at the king at all. Not,
yes.
To not take a shot would be the worst.
True. You said the part that stood out to me was when McCarthy says the Senate would probably impeach Trump even after he was out of office. That, by the way, was the only reason Senate Republicans gave for acquitting. What changed their minds? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, none of it makes any sense.
No, unless you go back to that old good old RNC hack by by Cozy and Fancy Bear. What do they have on them? What when McCarthy went down to kiss the ring at Mar-a-Lago, he didn't just go down.
Yeah.
Because he had already said those things that he wanted to do. We know that he did, and that was in his mind. He thought they would get 17 votes to convict him in the Senate. So what did Trump say to him or show to him when he was in Mar-a-Lago to pressure him to change his mind? And is that obstruction of justice? Same with what happened with Lindsey Graham and the Lynx.
By the way,
one day.
Do you think we're ever going to find out what came from the RNC hack? And will it be before the midterms? Because that would be delicious.
Probably not. It's probably a national security kind of a situation, which we never ever learn anything about.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of speculation about what you said. What does Liz Cheney have on the rest of them? You said my question is, when McCarthy was kicking Cheney out of her leadership role, why didn't she release this tape? Did she think it would come in handy later? Liz playing the long game, y'all. Yeah. And now we're hearing that it may have been Elise Stefanik who released the tape to try and undermine McCarthy. I could not be a bigger bag of rats. Could not be more awful. All of you, fight for mine and AG's entertainment
you
pleasure.
You have rat sounds. Of course you do.
Rats.
Those are the actual ones that were in my house.
Okay. You don't wonder how we got that audio.
You love this moment, too. You said, ooh, Marjorie Taylor Greene was asked if she said Pelosi was a traitor. She said no. Then the lawyer said, okay, let's pull up this exhibit. And MTG says, oh, wait. Watch out for that perjury. I mean, Glenn Kirshner said this to us Friday, right? That they may be setting perjury traps, you know, whether January 6th committee or whoever, right? Because
yeah, but I mean, that's like saying the Circle K is a shoplifting trap. If you're a criminal, sure. But you know, I don't know because I honestly don't think that she perjured herself. I mean, if Sessions didn't perjure himself when he said, I did not meet with any Russians, I do not recall. That's a very good way to get out of perjury. It's a high bar. It's a very high bar for perjury. So we'll see how that goes for it. It's a civil thing, so it's not necessarily a criminal thing. But I think, and unfortunately, I hate to say this here amongst all of y'all, but I think Marjorie Taylor Greene won that day. She got her message to her base. She didn't technically perjure herself, probably. It would be very hard
to
prove.
Isn't that the slimiest? Like, you don't even have to take the fifth. Just keep saying, I don't recall. I don't remember. Don't recall. Don't remember. And but Rude Pundit's right. What a coward, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, she posted a tweet. Was it Saturday. Declaring that today and every day is 1776, hours after denying under oath she knew the term was sometimes used as a far-right shorthand for violent uprising. I mean, you're human, just trolling, right, Chris? Yeah. Just owning the libs every second of every day.
Absolutely.
How do I troll? They're not there to legislate. They're not there to govern, right?
No, they're there to rip the government, to make it small enough to drown in the bathtub, as they say.
Yeah, they're basically far-right talk show hosts, you know, in on Capitol Hill. That's
Marjorie Taylor, Sporkfoot, shortly after eating her Kentucky Fried Chicken, coleslaw, and mashed potatoes.
Did you say
with separate sporks?
Sporkfoot?
Sporkfoot.
Just spork feet. They're sporks. Okay. Which means you don't have to mix your coleslaw and your mashed potatoes.
Right, because she's got two of them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And also they make excellent clam rakes. Okay. So.
We're really maturing.
Yeah.
12.
When you were notified that people had entered the Capitol illegally, did you also understand at that point that there had been violence at the Capitol?
I only knew what I was told. I'd heard a gunshot. We all heard it. And we were so confused. We thought Antifa was breaking in or BLM because those were the riots that had gone on and on all throughout 2020, day in and day out. Just horrible riots all over the country. And that was the only thing that made sense to most of us.
There you go. Got her trolling talking point in.
That's right.
Okay.
Not the only thing that made sense to all of us, except for the fact that everyone that was there that day was MAGA.
Right.
Everyone outside when she showed up to work.
Which
was
is
MAGA.
Why automatically we thought it was Antifa.
And my follow up question would have been like, well, you have said that the people in prison right now are political
prisoners.
Prisoners. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Antifa political prisoners?
Are you pro Antifa now?
Yeah. No.
Okay. All right. Chairman Schiff on Marjorie Taylor.
Well, it looks like we're getting a real sense of what her testimony would look and sound like, and there would be a considerable failure of recollection on some very key things. It's hard to imagine if you were calling for the imposition of martial law to overturn an election that you wouldn't remember doing so. But look, as we are reminded again so vividly this week, there are a number of members, probably Kevin McCarthy principally among them, with very relevant information about our investigation.
Yes. Chairman Schiff, go on, please.
I think listening to just the excerpts you played, where she has a failure of recollection about her conversations, raises serious questions about what she knew about the propensity for violence on that day. I'm not ready to draw a conclusion, and as a member of the committee, we are reserving judgment until we hear all the evidence about the role that members played. But she is certainly a person of interest to our investigation.
I would not like to exercise caution. I would like to say that you are a
lying sack of crap. Okay. You're a lying sack of crap.
We're not about the caution.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Like, if they redo The Heat with you and me, which I'm pretty sure they will, I'm definitely going to be Melissa McCarthy because I'm the hothead. I'm bad cop.
Mm.
Allison's good cop.
Okay, yeah.
She's calm cop. And I'm spazzy cop.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Can we be boat cops?
I'm someone that would drop my gun and shoot someone like by
Miami
accident.
Vice.
Like Postal Service boat cops.
Yeah.
Where we get
freeze.
Bannon on a yacht.
Right.
Again.
Yes, we take Bannon off his Chinese billionaire yacht.
And then just party on the yacht for the rest of the day?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Except then I'm like, I can't swim. Help. Allison, help me. I can't swim.
But you can swim.
I can't swim.
You have a pool.
It's you can stand anywhere.
It's a yacht. You're
it's a
very
stupid
far
waiting
from the water.
Pool. What?
Why are you drowning?
I could panic and drown in my. Oh, I forgot it's a waiting pool. I could just stand up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Allison, help me. Help. Oh, thank you. Oh, I can stand. Never mind.
I'm going to call you Troop Beverly Hills from now on.
One more.
She and others who played a role in January 6th. I'm speaking at the rally. Others meeting with the organizers, such as that meeting that she just described walking out of in that clip. These people have relevant information about the first effort in our history to stop the peaceful transfer of power, and they ought to do their duty, but of course it doesn't appear that's at all what they have in mind.
How would you compel her to talk? Would you put the Kentucky Fried Chicken coleslaw and mashed potatoes just out of reach of her spork? Just like, come on, can you tell us the truth? Well, here, look.
The Department of Justice has a better chance of compelling her to talk with threats of crimes.
I mean,
and civil contempt, not congressional contempt, which for some reason should be the same threat because of the balance of powers, but isn't.
Yeah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh, hi, good morning, Watergate prosecutor. Jill Weinbanks.
Good morning. How are you, my biking friend?
I'm fine. You know, you made such a great point on Twitter talking about all these Kevin. So, Lordy, there's more tapes. There's so many tapes. But the McCarthy tapes, you said, this made me feel like I did in 1973 when Butterfield testified there were tapes. They ended the Nixon presidency. The difference is that Republicans didn't just say to each other that Nixon should resign. They told him if he didn't, he'd be convicted on impeachment charges. Hello, Barry Goldwater. Looming over me.
Yep.
This is why we're soulmates, because who knew, right, that my dad's running mate is the one that went to Nixon and said, you got to resign. But look at the cowardice of this party, Jill, in relation to that Republican Party of my dad and Goldwater, right, is that Kevin McCarthy said it, but then, you know, to Trump, he didn't have the courage to say it or actually do it.
Exactly. It's one thing to say to yourself. It's another thing to actually carry it out and do it. And that's the difference between when there was actual facts that people paid attention to and people with moral courage to speak truth to power. And now what's happened? They say it to themselves. They say, oh, Gates, he shouldn't be on Twitter. He's saying things that could be illegal. But do they say it to him ever? No, they don't. They say, I'm going to tell the president he has to resign. This is terrible. He's responsible. Yeah. Do they say word one to him? No, they don't.
Doesn't it? It must just, we all have bombshell fatigue, as I always say, Jill, but you must just feel like there's a Watergate a day. There's like two a day. And they are impervious to it, this version of the Republican Party. They don't care that they got caught lying. They don't care they're caught on tape. Yeah. They just, it's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, one of the reasons I wrote Watergate Girl was because that was a time when democracy worked and justice prevailed. And now I feel so much like we've gone backwards and there's no bipartisanship. Democracy is failing. We came very close to losing it in terms of what happened on January 6th and even more so on the lead up to it. Barb McQuaid, one of my sisters-in-law for the podcast, wrote a wonderful piece about the Sunday night massacre, which talks about the evidence of how close we came to losing our democracy when Trump tried to fire the acting attorney general and put in Jeff Clark, who was a conspiracy theorist who was willing to lie and say, the Department of Justice found fraud in your state. Send in alternative electors. That's really terrifying. And it's a real gap in the Electoral College Act that might have worked.
Well, at the highest levels of our government, that there was someone actually saying Chinese thermostats might be changing votes in Dominion machines. I mean, it's like Geraldo, I think, is the one that said it. Like Nixon wouldn't have had to resign if there was a Fox News. Oh. This whole right wing swamp, right? They just, there is no conspiracy theory too crazy. There's no lie that they care about. Doesn't matter if they're caught on tape, right?
Yeah. They've all learned from Donald Trump, who always deny and deflect. Those are his two rules. You deny, deny, deny. And the other thing is the use of propaganda. It is I recently had a conversation with Ruth Ben-Ghiat.
Yeah.
Who is absolutely brilliant, wrote the book Strongman. And as she's describing Strongman from Mussolini on, she was describing Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And it was, I was getting goosebumps listening to her because it was so terrifying. Every tactic and strategy they use are the tactics of fascist, authoritarian dictators.
Yeah.
And if we don't indict soon, they're going to get away with it. And it's time. Well, it's time. The Department of Justice must act. I'm tired of waiting,
as is
most of America.
This right-wing conservative scholar, right, just wrote the editorial about how this 2020 was absolutely a dry run for 2024 if we don't do something. So this is what I want to ask you. That's why I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to ask you about the discussions involving the Trump White House about using emergency powers have become an important but little known part of the J6 committee's investigation. Mm-hmm. In subpoenas, document requests, and court filings, the panel has demanded information about any Trump administration plans to use emergency presidential powers to invoke martial law or take other steps to overturn the election. Jamie Raskin said, I consider it important to determine to what extent the president was prepared or preparing to use the Insurrection Act or make use of any other presidential emergency powers, we have to look at how the existence of an arsenal of residual presidential emergency powers threatens the traditional peaceful transfer of power in our country. Something you probably never thought we'd have to talk about or figure out how to codify into law, right?
Well, I don't think any of our legislation is geared to the type of person that occupied the White House in the last administration, which is to say that even Richard Nixon basically believed in the rule of law and believed when the Supreme Court said you have to do something that he actually had to do it.
Yeah.
He believed in the power of the people. He made a U-turn after firing Cox when the people rose up and said, you can't do this. He went, oh, I can't survive this politically. But you're right, now with Fox News and all the other right-wing media outlets and people living in silos of information and believing all the stuff that's propagandized to them, it's a very different circumstance now. It isn't Watergate. This is way worse and much more dangerous for democracy. I never thought democracy was at stake.
Right.
I never expected martial law to be declared for totally phony reasons.
And only in our idiocracy would it be thought of and also misspelled at the same time. Okay.
Only misspelled by a Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Exactly.
Right?
By the way, you said someone should tell Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying under oath, I don't recall, when you do recall, is perjury. But
yes.
Is there any way? But the problem is, she's going to get away with this, isn't she?
She will.
Right.
It's almost impossible to prove. It doesn't mean it's not perjury.
Right.
When you say, I don't remember, if there's a way of proving you did, like you might have actually confessed to someone, oh, I'm going to go in and say that. And remember, during Watergate, one of the crimes was listening to President Nixon say, well, you can always say, I don't remember, I don't recall, even if you do. And that was subornation of perjury by advising someone to say that when you knew that they remembered. So, you know, it is... Sometimes you can prove it, but most often it's very hard to prove someone actually remembers something they say they don't remember, as opposed to saying, "I like McCarthy did, I never said that," and then you have a tape where he's saying it.
Yeah,
that's one thing.
And
but
it's understandable.
I don't remember if I said it, he could have gotten away with it.
It's understandable that you wouldn't remember you told the President of the United States he should use martial law to overturn the government of the United States. That's not the...
But she misspelled Marshall, so
right.
There's
wouldn't,
that.
Wouldn't stick with you.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and I love this. Speaking of Fox News, did you see the Chiron? I think Laura Ingraham interviewed her, and they spelled Marshall Law the way Marjorie Taylor Greene spelled it on the Chiron, just to make sure that everybody is as stupid as Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay. So, yeah, this is what I wanted to ask you about, this Marshall Law thing. So, unlike many other countries, I didn't know this, the United States does not grant presidents express emergency powers in its constitution. Instead, presidents rely on several acts of Congress to provide emergency authority. The most sweeping is the National Emergencies Act, a 1976 law that allows a president to declare a national emergency at will. Trump declared more national emergencies than any president in a four-year period, including the one that authorized the building of the wall after that Congress had declined to fund. So this is why, and John Kelly, by the way, is quoted as saying, other advisors were wasting their time by telling Trump some of their ideas were against the law. He doesn't care, Kelly said. I mean, right. So anyway, the emergency statutes were not intended to allow a president to challenge election results. And the presidential emergency statutes contain fundamental flaws that could lead to abuse is what they're looking at now.
Well,
right.
You know, one thing I've learned as a prosecutor is that any law can be gotten around, particularly if you don't care about getting caught or being guilty. And there is no law that can prevent wrongdoing by totally corrupt people. And so when you have elected a person like Donald Trump who does not care about the law and has always felt he was above it and would get away with it, it's very hard to control. And our emergency powers were really intended to be used by governors in a state.
Right.
It's really more a state power. And, you know, but you shouldn't have to pass laws worrying about, well, will we have a corrupt person who might abuse this power? But I think right now, as we look to amend things like the Electoral Count Act or emergency acts, we're going to have to consider what would happen if you have a crazy person in office who is willing to do anything to stay in power.
yeah.
and will abuse that authority that he's given. So we are going to have to be careful about having congressional oversight, and which is one of the reasons it's so important that the Department of Justice indict people for obstruction of Congress, because otherwise they cannot do their job of oversight.
Yeah. Let me, a couple more things I want to ask. The House Select Committee has been focusing on the financial practices of the Republican National Committee, and staffers are coming forward to testify. One said that means the committee has more insight than is previously known in the Republican Party's activity in the lead up to January 6th. The interviews underscore the Select Committee's interest in how political messaging by the national GOP, which partnered with the Trump campaign, may have stoked falsehoods about the 2020 election. So what would be their legal culpability? Because it's true, they stoked these same election lies, right?
It's, you know, it will take a lot. Obviously, perjury is not in play unless you do it under oath. Even though you're, you know, lying to the public, that's not a crime. So what is their responsibility? Well, there could be civil liability. There's always that possibility that if you stoked the violence, you're responsible for the consequences of it. And that could be an issue. So, well, it's going to take some creative legal thinking to hold all the people who are involved in the consequences of the big lie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I hope they are, because it's the only way to stop them. I think things like the Dominion and Smartmatic lawsuits against Fox may have a serious impact on how they report the news.
Okay.
Will they be more careful in not promoting conspiracy theories and blatant lies, things they know are false, or that any reasonable person should have known was false, and therefore you can't say it because there are consequences.
All right. At the bottom of our legal stack is the OMG WTF stack.
Okay.
The grand jury hearing evidence against the Trump Organization is set to expire this week, amid reports that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg will not apply for an extension. So obviously, we already, the two prosecutors resigned. The resignation letter said they believe they'd accumulated enough evidence to charge Trump with multiple felonies related to falsifying business record. Pomerantz told Bragg he personally harbors no doubt whether Trump committed crimes. He did. So here we are, where he tried to say, no, it's ongoing, but it certainly doesn't look like it, does it?
It is definitely does not look like it's ongoing. Number one, he returned all the documents that Michael Cohen had provided. Those have been returned to Michael Cohen. If you have an ongoing investigation, you wouldn't have returned them. The fact that the grand jury is expiring and there's no evidence of a renewal is another clue. It is inexplicable to me because the crime seems self-evident. It's yeah. also inexplicable to me why there hasn't been an announcement about the audit. Donald Trump has been under audit since 2015 when he announced and said, I can't give you my records, which is a lie, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He could have. But he's saying, you know, I'm under audit. Well, no audit takes this long. Either the department and Donald Trump need to announce it's over and there's no liability, or they need to take action to collect the debt that he probably owes to the United States of America. And there are all these other cases pending that you go, like, what's taking so long?
Yeah.
And
it seems so clear to the layperson that he committed insurance fraud, bank fraud, tax fraud. I cannot explain what's happened with. And it doesn't sound like, quite honestly, like Cy Vance did much about the Trump crime breaking and then, you know, passed the bag to Bragg. And I don't know. I can't explain what happened. Can you?
He did. I mean, according to what I'm understanding, is that he basically said to the two prosecutors, take this and get all the evidence into the grand jury. And they ran out of time before he left office. And so they didn't return indictments with full expectation that Bragg would see the evidence the same way Vance did and would approve an indictment. You know, why did they not push it faster while Vance was still in office? Well, that is a question, I have to admit. And another thing you learn as a prosecutor is you could investigate forever and wait for the perfect case.
Yeah.
There is no such thing. And when you have crimes that are what we would call low-hanging fruit, things you see in plain sight,
right,
things that, as you point out, we've all seen. We don't need to know what the grand jury knows. I've seen enough in the public record to say, I think there's an indictable case.
Yeah.
And yes, if there's one Trump supporter on the jury, Maybe they won't convict. But remember, Manafort had a Trumper on the jury who voted to convict him on all counts because she said, as a juror, I was sworn to pay attention to the evidence, and the evidence was clear. He was guilty.
Okay, real quick, is just one, a side note from here. A state judge in New York has determined that Cushman and Wakefield, a global real estate corporation, lied and broke its own internal policies to help the Trump organization inflate the value of its assets to fraudulently secure better loan deals. The judge's surprising assertions were included in his court order yesterday, which he formally directed them to turn over documents to Tish James. What do you make of Tish James' case, real quick?
I think it looks like a good case. It's not criminal because her authority is civil, but any accountability is important at this point.
Yeah.
And I, as you said, for all of us, it seems obvious that he's been playing the numbers, that he gets a benefit by saying it's not worth very much in terms of paying taxes. And then he goes and says, it's worth five times that.
$11 billion.
Exactly. So he just makes up the numbers. And I'm sorry, Cushman & Wakefield is an otherwise reputable firm, but it does seem like they were in his thrall and did the wrong thing. So they need to be held accountable, too.
That's going to be the story. The people that just destroyed their reputations did whatever they did for Donald Trump. It's just amazing. Amazing. All right. So a man that's afraid of fruit. Anyway, let's just leave that there. Thank you, Jill. Sisters-in-Law is the fantastic hit podcast. Yep. Get it. And the book is Watergate Girl. We love you, Jill. See you next time.
Thank you so much. Love you, too.
All right. Bye, honey.